Okay. All right, let's see. So we're up to the fourth Agarata. Again, in Parak HaMochar Sasina, there are 21 stories. Most of them are Rabba Bar Bar Chana stories. They're not all Rabba Bar Bar Chana stories. But the Vilna Gaon is elaborating on them one by one and showing us that, in fact, they're very much connected to the Psukim of Tehillim Parak Kuf Zayin, which was the Parak of Tehillim that the Baal Shem Tov instituted to say on Erev Shabbos. It describes the transition from the rough seas of the ocean to a world of tranquility. Okay, so up to the fourth story. We've been learning about Gaiva, we've been learning about Taiva, we've been learning about Kavod. So tonight we're going to learn again a little bit of Gaiva, a little bit of Kina, a little bit of jealousy, and a very short story. Maybe the strangest of the stories, it's not even much of a story at all. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, "Lididi chazili or zila bar yome dahave kahar tavor." He said, "Lididi chazili." It was shown to me. Interesting lashon, right? Doesn't mean he doesn't say I saw. He said it was sort of like it was shown to me. Baal Shem Tov says that anything that a person sees or hears or experiences in this world is a message from Hashem. So Rabbi Barchana says, one time it was shown to me. I saw, but it was shown to me. Lididi chazili. Became seen by me, an orzila bar yome. An orzila is some type of mountain goat, maybe an antelope, some type of beautiful creature, and it was a bar yome. It was a one day old orzila, a one day old antelope or mountain goat. Dahave kahar tavor, and it was like Mount Tavor. Says the Gemara of a Har Tavor Kamahave, and how big is Har Tavor? Arba'in Parse. Now the truth is, if you open up Meseches Bava Basra, Ta'ayin Gimel Mabez, you'll see that our Gemara's gear says Arba Parse, four Parsa. But other editions, the Ein Yaakov, other editions have 40 Parsa. We'll see that 4 and 40 more or less are the same Yisod here. But you should just know, if you were to actually open up a standard Gemara Bava Basra, it would say four Parsa. Four parsa. We said last week that a parsa is 4 mil. A mil is 2,000 amos. Okay, so four parsa would be, what do we say? 16 mil, which is 32,000 amos. Did I get that right? Something like that. It was big. Okay, big as Har Tavor, big as a mountain. I saw a one-day-old antelope that was as big as Har Tavor. How big is Har Tavor? Arba in Parse. U'mishocha d'tzavare t'lasa Parse. And the length of its neck. The mishocha d'tzavare, the length of its neck. Donnie, three times 1 week we saw the word tzavar, no? It's weird when stuff like that happens. Tzavar means the neck. The length of its neck was 3 parsa. U'beimar bata d'reshe. And the resting place of his head is Parsa upalga. Is a palga and a half. A parsa and a half. Parsa upalga. A parsa and a half. Rama kufsa. Sorry for the graphic description. It literally throws its feces. It relieves itself. Usachar le liyardana. And it releases so much excrement that it clogs up the yarden. Okay. Thank you, Rav Barbarchana. Lovely. And the Rashbam writes on Rama Kufsa, you can see just right under it, the Rashbam on the Gemara writes, Rama Kufsa, Hitil Rei, right? It relieves itself. Usachar Harei Liardana, and the excrement clogs up the Yarden. Lefisha, but only temporarily. This is an important point, that's why I'm showing this to you now. Achimisam Suhu Hamayim Atmat. Well, eventually the water, the rushing waters of the Yarden, sweep out all of that filth, and the water returns to its natural flow. Who is this antelope, one day old, it's so big, what's the comparison to Har Tavor? How big is it, how long is its neck, where does it rest its head? Right. Relieves itself, it blocks up the river, it's very strange. Says the Bir Hagra, Lididi chazile or zila bar yome. I saw an antelope that was one day old. Kamosha amu rabu seino. However, the basic yesod here is, and again, the Gra has said it in the past, and he'll say it again, and it's very halacha l'maisa what we're learning. This is not just niflaos haTorah. It's really, really halacha l'maisa in terms of the development of a ben Torah. The Gra says there's a temptation to try to be something that you're not, to Pretend to be a Talmud Chacham that you're not. You'll become a Talmud Chacham. You'll get there. But there's an order of operations. There's a way that a person gets there. And if your Gaiva or your Taiva or your Kavod or your Kin is going to get in the way, you're not going to get there. That's what all these Gemaras are telling us. So the Gra says, Chazal tell us Chamra. This is a very powerful Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Chamra, the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, 144, Sanhedrin Kufaf. Chamra ozel limibai karne. The Chamra, the Chamor, the donkey went limibai karne to seek out karne, to seek out horns. The donkey wanted to have horns. Udne dahavile geziza mine. And the ears, the udne means the oznaim, the ears that it did have were cut off from it. The donkey tried to have horns, which is not its chelek, and it lost its ears. Imagine a donkey who decides he wants to fight against another animal that has horns. So he goes to the store, and the donkey buys himself a set of horns that he can strap onto his head, and he goes and he fights. He pretends to be a more powerful animal than he is. Not only do his horns get ripped off because he doesn't have horns, but he also loses his ears in the fight. They get pierced by the other animal's horns. So a donkey went to seek out horns and it lost his ears. The ears that he had were ripped off. What's the inyan? Chazal tells in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that a person should first learn to try to acquire a foundation of learning, and only afterwards should he analyze. First, just learn as many facts about Torah. Bikias, acquire a breath of Torah. As much of a basic understanding. Learn Shnayim Mikra. It's not fancy. It's not flashy. It's not as cool as walking out there with Chaim Brisker. But walk around with a Chumash and learn the Parsha. First, a person needs to learn the basics, and then afterwards he can become a big Talmud Chacham with his analysis. Shenemar, Shisei Mayim Miborecha. First, drink water from your boar. What's a boar? Shei Mayim Mechunasim. Shemachnisim Osom Mimokom Acher. First, gather waters from somewhere else in your canteen. It's not your water. It's not coming from the well springs within yourself. Bring water from outside of yourself, right? And drink that water first. V'chein yishma me'acherim v'yilmod. Learn from others. Listen. Listen to what your Rebbe has to say. Before you start saying your own chidushim, first listen to someone who's a little bit older than you. V'acher kach mibe'erecha. First, drink waters mibo'recha, from your bor, from the waters that have been collected. And then afterwards, you'll experience your own be'er. You'll find your own wellspring within yourself. But first, you have to listen. If you're going to try to run off and get horns, in other words, if you're going to try to be, the horns are very beautiful. You see an animal, wild mountain goat with horns, it's a beautiful sight, magnificent sight. But if you try to take horns, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but if you try to take the horns that aren't yours, right, you'll end up losing your ears. You won't be able to hear anything. And you'll be an Am Haaretz your whole life. V'nira li shezeh kavanas ha-pasuk. And this is what the pasuk is telling us. Bechor shoro hadar lo. Bechor shoro hadar lo. V'karnei re'em karnav. Whose bracha is that? Yosef. It's Yosef's bracha. Bechor shoro hadar lo. Right? The Bechor Shoro is his hadar, is his beauty. The karnei re'im, and the horns of the re'im, some type of beautiful creature, karnav. So he explains, Shuhu hashmiya, kamashikosev kare alei. It was called about him, kare alei, it was said about him. In other words, first a person has to start off by being a listener. First it has to be sort of imposed upon you. Bechor shoro hadar lo. Why is the shore, so to speak, what you receive from someone else? That which is said to you or at you. Ki nemar v'rav tvuos bekoach shor. An abundance of grain, rav tvuos, an abundance of grain with the strength of the ox. In other words, what is the nature of the shore? Listen. Kamosha amru tana debelio. Like the Gemara says, quoting Tana debelio, la'olam yasim atzo. Al divrei Torah kishur laol ukechamur lamasa. Before you become a beautiful antelope with the beautiful horns, that mountain goat that's able to roam freely in all the mountains on its own, first you need to be a domesticated animal. First you need a master. First you need to be like a chamor. You need to be like a shur. Right? What does Chazal say? Laolam, a person should always make himself with regards to Divrei Torah, like a shore to the ol, like an ox that bears the yoke, and plows, and plows, and plows, and plows. Ukechamor lamasa. Chamor lamasa means what? Like a donkey that carries. First, you need to carry around your Rebbe's Torah. You need to carry around whatever Torah says. Before you start saying your own chidushim, before you write your own sefer, first find out. First, just dig into the facts, right? And carry it. Pile up as much of it as you can. Shor la'ol lisa mashashamim mirabo. Be like an ox that wears the yoke to carry that which he hears from his rebbeim. V'zeh b'chor sharo hadar lo. Hadar hu ligmor mirabo k'shor la'ol. It's beautiful when a person what? When a person learns from his rebbe, the same way that the ox submits itself to the yoke, it's very productive, the ox. It's not so fancy. It's sort of enslaved to its master. It's a domesticated animal. It doesn't roam freely. It's told what to do. But with that humility, with that bittul, when the ox is wearing the yoke on its neck, right? That's how he achieves his goal. And then only after you're a chamor and you're a shor, then va'achar kach v'karnei re'eim karnav. Then you could be like the beautiful re'eim, which has such beautiful horns. V'masa umatan shel pilpul. Then you could start to say your own ideas. Right? And then the horns will be authentic and they'll be beautiful. Kamosha amru, bale karnayim. Right? Like we refer to people, the Gemara in Brachos refers to those who are engaged deeply in the Torah as bale karnayim, people with horns. Right? The horn is an extension of the moach. In other words, it's something, it's almost like a crown of sorts, right? It goes beyond the head, it goes beyond the brain. So bale karnayim, shemenagchim b'torah. People who have what? Who've acquired sort of the weaponry of Torah, that they're able to have real strength with Torah. Or like the Gemara calls them sometimes bale trisim. Hakol mashal ala pilpul. Right? When we talk about a horn could be used almost like a spear, like a sword. Right? Or as the Gemara sometimes calls those who are outstanding in the Beis Medrash, the bale trisim, literally the shield bearers. So a person who's very accomplished is like a fierce warrior. Right, you could take on the world, but at first you have to be submissive. At first you have to have the humility, like a shor, like a chamor, to come before your rabbi and to lower your neck, like the shor, like the chamor, and to schlep along, to stick to the program. Don't get ahead of yourself. Okay, top of the next page. V'hu hadara, v'hu ziva shel Torah, and that is the beauty of Torah. The beauty of Torah is that if you stick with the program, you'll be very successful. That at the beginning a person needs to fill his kishkas with mikra, with mishnah, with gemara, with bavli, with yerushalmi, with tosa, with the midrashim, the mechilta, the sifra, the sifrei, v'chol ha'braisos. Just get the collect the facts as much as you can. And then he can start to sit with the talmid chamim, and he can start to what be mepalpel and to say svaras. And to chair things. But at first, just keep plowing. Get the facts. Carry it along. Like a shore, like a chamor. Aval, but says the Gra. A chamor she'ino lo made el lakanter ulapalpel. But if really you're up to the stage of a chamor, you're not ready for what? You're not really ready for horns. And unfortunately, you're learning in a way that you want to be chashiv. Lakanter, you want to be better than your friend. Lakanter usually means like to put someone else down. Ulapalpel, you just want to look smart, you want to sound smart, you want to impress your Rebbe. Lomid mikodem heich lapalpel. So he starts off right away, he's trying to learn in a creative way. He wants to learn how to say all sorts of fancy svaras. Uma'abed afilu ha-Torah shal yedei shmiya. But because of that, he's so interested in being fancy, he doesn't know how to listen anymore. He doesn't know how to just listen simply anymore. And that's what the Gemara was telling us. Chamra ozil l'mabai karna. The donkey which is supposed to be carrying went to find horns that it wasn't ready for. Udne oznav dahavile gazizimine, and the ears that it has were cut off, were chopped off. It couldn't listen. It couldn't be mevatel itself to anyone. It becomes totally demyonish, right? In its thinking that I'm a big, you know, I always have to compare. Just listen a little. Listen before you talk. First listen before you say a svara. Gather the facts. You're trying to explain a fancy pshat of the Mishnah. Just first read the Gemara. Find out before you start analyzing the Mishnah. Find out. Read the commentary on the Mishnah. It's called the Gemara. Read the commentary on the Gemara. It's called Rashi. Get the facts. Gather the facts.
Va'al hamishana seder halimud v'lomid b'tchila leida hechla palpel. But when a person breaches the order of how one is supposed to learn, and again, immediately you're learning very complex iyun, and you're not being honest with yourself, you're skipping over the fact that you don't even know how to read the Gemara. Ve'enu yodeya mishnah achas keturasa, and you don't even have one mishnah down clear with simplicity. That's like the donkey that goes to find the horn. So why are you doing that? How did that happen? Why is a person getting ahead of himself? He's jealous of the fact that someone else is on that level of learning. So in his jealousy, he wants to be able to gore, so to speak, with his horns. He wants to be able to be a force in the base medrash. And the truth is, if he sticks to the plan, he'll get there. But his problem is that he decides, I want to jump right in right now. What's motivating him to do that? Because he's jealous of other people who are more advanced in their Torah scholarship. And by doing so, udne dahavile gazizamine, the ears that he had are removed from him. Gamiksas haTorah shashama binaruso avad gamken. The little bit of Torah he acquired from others when he was young, right, he forgets all of it because he's so busy trying to be fancy in the base medrash that he forgets the basics. So what's he left with? He doesn't actually have a horn and he doesn't have ears anymore. He's left with nothing. So now, says Rabbi Bar Chana, I saw this. Rabbi Bar Chana says, I saw this. V'zeu amru hai or zila bar yome. I saw an antelope. An antelope's a mountain goat, a beautiful mountain goat with real horns, right? But I saw an orzila bar yome. I saw a one-day-old mountain goat. That's sort of a stir mine ube, right? The orzila represents the mountain goat in all of its glory. Karne re'im karnav. That's after Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo. And it was only one day old. You've been in the base medrash for one day. What are you walking around with horns for? How do you pretend to have horns? I saw hua re'im sha'alav nemar karne re'im karnav. I saw, again, what appeared to be a beautiful creature with horns, but it was bar yoma. Perish shebeyom harishon shehischil lilmod. He's been in the base medrash for one day, and he's already tzoik, he's already screaming, he's mefarches, he's already right, making moves like a guy who's what, like one of the gedolim. He learned that he copied someone's shakal. He figured out if he screams louder than his chavrusa, then people will think he's smarter than his chavrusa. Right? He's doing all the moves, all the yeshivish moves to try to look like he's a big lamdan. Right, he's sitting there working on, trying to work it out. He just wants attention. He just wants people to look at him. So he's a one-day-old antelope. A one-day-old antelope is a stira minei obey. You can't be a beautiful re'im with karnayim if you haven't even put in the time to be a shor, to be a chamor. And I saw that it was what? It reminded me, he says, the havei kahar tavor. It was like the size of har tavor. Chever, what's har tavor? What's Mount Tavor? Shemagdil atzmo kahar tavor. Har Tavor was a very big in Chasha Mountain. Be'emes a big in Chasha Mountain. But Har Tavor was a Baal Gaiva. What does that mean? Kamosha Amru. Asid in Bate Knesios Ubate Midrasha Shababavel Shikvo Be'eret Yisrael. Eventually, the shuls and the houses of learning in Bavel are going to come to Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar. Ki kitavor beharim. Like Tavor amongst the mountains. Tavor is the epitome of a big Chasha Mountain. Ukecharmel beyam yavo. Perish Rashi. Now Rashi on that pasuk in Yirmiyah, we don't actually have this. I looked up the Rashi today, and you can see in footnote 159, it says we don't have this in our Rashi, but we do have it in the Medrash. What is it? What is that idea? That is, lamadu sha'avar karmel v'tavor asayam laseis alei amator. When Har Tavor and Har Karmel heard that what? That Hashem wanted to give the Torah, so the big mountains came rushing, and they said, give the Torah on us. We're big mountains. We're Chashuva mountains. They literally uprooted themselves from their place, and they came to the place of Kabbalah's Torah. They crossed over the waters, over the oceans, in order to come to the place of Kabbalah's Torah. Darash bar kapara, mai dechsiv, lama teratzun harim gavnunim. Where are you running to? Where are you trying to get to, these fancy mountains? Says the Medrash, yatz the baskel v'amar lahem. Lama teratzu dinim simai. See, what do you think? You think you're gonna get a place over here? You're gonna try to what? To compete with Har Sinai? You're nothing compared to Har Sinai. Kulchem bali mumin atem. It's Har Sinai. You're all Bali Mum, you're all disqualified compared to Sinai. Well, we're much bigger than Sinai. We're much more chashev than Sinai. That's exactly the problem. You think you're so chashev. Of course you're not going to have success in Torah. Hashem says, I don't want a big mountain, I want a humble mountain. Amar of Ashi Shma Mina Haiman Di Yahir Bal Mumhu. From here we learn that a person who is Yahir, a person who has Yuhara, a person who acts with Gaiva, is a Bal Mum. It's a blemish. It's a disqualification. It's not a nice way to act. It postles you. You could be a big mountain, but your Gaiva will destroy you. Your Kinna will destroy you. So says Rabbi Rachana, I saw an Orzila, or what tried to present itself as an Orzila, a beautiful mountain goat, but it was only Bar Yoma. And it was trying to act like it had horns in the Beis Medrash, like it was one of the Choshuva, Bali Karnayim, like the Bali Treason in the Beis Medrash, like the Gemara calls them. Right? And it was as big as Har Tavor. It was as full of itself, like Har Tavor when it tried to take over and said, "Why you're going to choose Har Sinai? Why would you choose Har Sinai?" Hashem said, "What are you talking about? You're all Bali woman. Of course I choose Har Sinai. Choose Har Sinai over all of you." V'har Tavor kama have arban parsa. So what did the Gemara say? How big was Har Tavor? We said it was 40 parsa. Our Gemara actually says four parsa, 40 parsa. Shemare ba'atzmo lakol ki ilu ein chaser lo mikol hakedusha klon. It presents itself as if it's shalem. Why is 40 parsa? 40 very often represents a certain type of shlemus. Right? 40 represents a certain type of completion. There's many examples of that in the Torah, and in Tanakh, and in Halacha. But the notion of 40 is, right? A mikvah is 40 saw. The mavel fell for 40 saw. A person gets 40 lashes because that's part of, you know, beating it out of them and recreating themselves. Nineveh is going to be overturned in 40 days, overturned in Hafachu, total transformation. 40 represents a certain type of transformation. It's Elul and the first 10 days of Tishrei, Elul Yom Kippur is 40 days. We recreate ourselves. Right? So 40 is it's a davar shalim in a certain sense. So this person presents himself as if what? Like Har Tavor, like the guy with the Har Tavor, presents himself as if he's a davar shalim, he's a complete person. Kamosha Amru, this Gemara really stings. Look at this Gemara. Kamosha Amru, like the Gemara says in Sota, Shiva Prushenheim. There are seven people who are Prushen. Seven people who act with abstinence. But it means that they're pseudo tzaddikim. They're not authentic Prushim. That they're always doing things to look like they're Prushim. They're pseudo righteous people. There are seven pseudo righteous people. And on that list, one of them is a parush machovasi ve'asena. A person whose expression of precious, as he says, what he always says, what is there for machovasi? What is there for me to do ve'asena, and I will do it. So the Gemara says that's a good thing, no? That's a ma'al yusa. The Gemara says, isn't it good to ask what can I do? I want to do more. So the Gemara explains it. No. It's as if he's saying machovasi su ve'asena. What more is there for me to do, and I'll do it? As if to say, I feel like there's nothing else for me to do, right? I finished everything. He thinks he's complete. He thinks he's shalim. He walks around saying, what is there? What more is there for me to do? Is there anything more I could do? I don't know. How more could I perfect myself? I'm so perfect. I'm so great. I'm so shalim. V'amru ha-mikubalim. The mikubalim explained. Very interesting. Shemiyom revi ad Shabbos, from Wednesday, tonight is Wednesday, beginning of Revi'i tonight. From Yom Revi'i to Shabbos, Sarach lahachin es atzma lekedusha, kamo shiyadua. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos are really 4 days that are connected to Shabbos. Of course, Shabbos is the ultimate expression of Shabbos. But Wednesday is already approaching Shabbos. Thursday, even more approaching Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, and then Shabbos. Those 4 days are sort of a package. They're all focused on Kedusha Shabbos. That's why on the Shir Shal Yom for Yom Revi'i, right, we borrow a little bit at the end from what? From Kabbalah Shabbos, because we're starting to be Kabbalah Shabbos from Wednesday. V'tzorech leilich u'lahargil kol rega b'kedusha, and we need to try again each moment to start to prepare ourselves to receive that kedusha of Shabbos. Turn the page. V'hein arba yamim. So again, it's a period of 4 days. We're on page Tezayin. A period of 4 days, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, u'ikra kedusha. Obviously, Shabbos Kodesh is the main day. Okay, so what does that mean? So 4 and 40. What's the relationship between 4 and 40? 4 days of kedusha in the week, so to speak. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are still feeling the reverberation of the previous Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos are 4 days of kedusha Shabbos. So Chazal explained the relationship between 4 and 40, or 3 and 30, 2 and 20. Ben Shloshim Lakalach. Ben Shloshim Lakalach. The years of one's life from 30 to 40 are the years of Kalach. What does that mean, they're years of Kalach? Sha'az hu b'kalach shor. Like we explained earlier, we quoted the pasuk, v'rav tevuos, much grain is amassed through the kalach of the shor. And we explained that the shor is the one who continues to want to bear the yoke and tries to carry what he hears from others, like a shor, like a chamor. In other words, until a person turns 40, you're really supposed to what? Just be amassing and collecting Torah. 40 years old, am I only going to start saying my own chidushim when I'm 40? Yeah, you're only going to start saying your own chidushim when you're 40. But I heard, you know, this tzaddik already was, I don't know, Rav Gustman was on Rav Chaim Ozer's base when he was in his 20s. Okay. Rav Shechter was the Rosh Hashiva in YU when he was much younger. Okay. The yechidim. For normal people, 30 to 40, you're still what? You're still ashore. You're still plowing. You're still collecting. You're still working over what your rabbi said. You're not really ready to say your own hosafa yet. You're still plowing over, you're chazering over that which you received from those who came before you. And then when you turn 40, what does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? If 30 is the age of strength, meaning 30 to 40 is the 30s of one's life, is still a time to continue to work over that which you've acquired from others. At 40 now, bina. Bina is the ability to what? To be maven davar mitoch davar. To expand on an idea, lahavin, with a palpil, says the girl. In order to what? To understand, in a way, I'm starting to say my own chidushim. Now, v'heim gam kein arba yamim ad shivim. Right? If we view each of the 7 days of the week corresponding to a decade, we know that David HaMelech says that yimei shenoseinu behem shivim shama. Right? The average lifespan of a person is 70 years. Which means that, so to speak, just like, you know, 4, 5, 6, and 7, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, are the years of real intense Kedusha, but Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is not yet really ready to enter into that world of Kedusha Shabbos. So too, the corresponding decades, when you're 10, when you're 20, when you're 30s, until you get to 40, you're still at that point, you're not ready for Shabbos. You're not ready for Shabbos yet. You're not there yet. You've got to work your way up to it. But from the 4 days, or from 40 to 70, so to speak, sha'oz hu roi li yeshiva, those are the years of what? Of really becoming a zaken bi yeshiva. Kamo shamru chazal, zaken bi yoshe bi yeshiva. The years of chashivas come later. So therefore, says Rav Bar Chana, what happens when a person thinks he's a kadosh a little too prematurely? He thinks he's a zaken a little bit too prematurely. He thinks he's a big chacham a little prematurely. V'ze'ur zila bar yoma. Says Rabbi Rachana, I saw an antelope that was 1 day old. Holich b'yom echad, mahalich arba yamim lefi daito. And he thought he was as big as what? As Har Tavor. He thought he was as big as 40 parsa. The Gemara says in Pesachim that a person walks an average 10 parsa in a day. So 40 parsa means 4 days. In other words, on the day he was born, he thinks, I'm already holding by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. I'm Kodesh Kadashim. I'm done. I don't need to work my way up to it. Ze'amru hartavor kamahave. How big is hartavor? How big can a bal gaiva be? And the answer is arba and parsa. He could think that what? He could think he's already achieved sort of the primary years of one's life, right? But those are the years that come later. You can't get to that on day one. Shu mahalich arba yamim. He thinks he did 4 days worth of traveling. In other words, 40 parsa already from day one. He thinks he's already holding by Yom Shekula Shabbos. He's Kodesh Kadashim. It's Meshugana. Umashchei detzavarei tzchlasa parsei. And the length of his neck was 3 parsa. What does that mean? Kamosha Amru. The Gemara tells us something. It's very humbling. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Zayin that Rav ki have chose ambuha de ozel abasrei. When Rav would see an ambuha. Ambuha means like a throng, a crowd. When Rav would see a crowd of people coming after him to give him kavod, Amar Hachi, he would say the following: Im yale l'shamayim si'o. If he reaches, if one reaches the heights of heaven, right? Si'o. If he's raised up to the heights of heaven, V'rosho la'ov yagia, and his head reaches the clouds. He should remind himself, this is a pasuk in Iyov, kigelalo lanetzach yoved, he will forever be lost like gelalo, like excrement. In other words, eventually he'll be flushed away as well. Ro'av yomru ayo. And those who see him will say, what happened to him? Where'd he go? So even the most chashiv person, I remember I was once with Rav Shechter in Eretz Yisrael. I was in a car. I was zocher to be in a cab with Rav Shechter in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember what we were talking about and what the context. I wasn't really talking. I was more listening. He was talking to someone else who was in the car. And someone was saying to Rav Shechter, like, you know, he was going to come to Rav Shechter, something like, well, like, what would we do without you, Rav Shechter? Right? And Rav Shechter said, yeah, it's like the saying, the cemetery is filled with indispensable people. Right? Meaning eventually everyone, even the person who was the most choshev in his time, right? The most choshev person, eventually, kach yidar chashal olam. So when Rav was walking in the street and everyone was following behind Rav and said, ooh, Rav, you know, I want to talk to you in learning. I want to get your autograph. I want to take a picture with you. Can I get a bracha from Rabbi? Right? Everyone was following after Rav. So Rav would chant to himself as a mantra. He would say these psukim in Iyov. He would say, even if a person reaches the heights of heavens, even if your head is in the clouds, right? Eventually what? Eventually you're going to rot in the ground, no different than the excrement that leaves a person's body. And everyone's going to wonder, what happened to him? They're not even going to remember you. It'll be someone else who takes your place. It's a sad thought. But it's very humbling and it's very true. And it's the way that we're supposed to serve our Creator. The Amru, and furthermore, it says, Amru Papa Shmamina Hai Eva Tlasa Parse Midle. The Gemara derives from the fact, from this Pasuk, and also from the fact that Pasuk says something about Yushalayim being three Parsa, and Yushalayim's connection to the clouds. So Rav Papa says, we learn from here that the clouds are, so to speak, three Parsa. In other words, right, when this pasuk says imyala shamayim co verosho la'av yagiu, if your head reaches, we're based on a series of these psukim and a series of limudim that the clouds are about three parsa up off the ground. So this antelope that's one day old and is big balgaiv and thinks it reached perfect levels of kedusha, its neck is three parsa. In other words, its head is already in the clouds. It thinks its mamish already there. Ratzalomar shenid maloki ilu kvar ala letachlis agadula. It's already reached the heights of what a human being can accomplish in this world, right? And more than that, what did the Gemara say? Next paragraph: Uve marbasa deresha parsa upalga, and the resting place of his head is a parsa and a palga, a parsa and a half. What does that mean? Sheminiach rosho bin gedolim. This one-day-old antelope is already sticking his head amongst the gedolim. Shehu kamosh rabbeinu alav shalom. He thinks he's like Moshe Rabbeinu, a real shalom person, right? Rishonim already point out that Moshe Rabbeinu is Gematria 613. Gematria Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Moshe Rabbeinu is a complete person. This one-day-old guy, this one-day-old antelope, thinks he's already can handle with Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu connected to a parsa and a half? Gross says something gavaldic. Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom haisa chanayasu lifnei ha-mishkan. We know that the camp of Bnei Yisrael, there were different sections. There was the Mishkan, there was the Machane Leviyah, there was the Machane Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu camped by the Mishkan. Shu be'emtza Machane Yisrael, which was in the middle of Machane Yisrael, surrounding on the sides. U'machane Yisrael hayeshlosh parsa. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the camp of Klal Yisrael was three parsa. Which means that if you're standing really chutz l'machane, and you wanted to sort of reach from your, you know, one end of the Machane to the middle of the Machane, if the whole Machane crosses three, so that means to get to the middle, from the outside, is a parsa and a half. So in other words, nimsa, misof machane Yisrael ad emtza parsa upalga, to get from the edge of the camp, to smack in the middle of the camp, to so to speak go from the farthest edge of the camp, to be standing right next to Moshe Rabbeinu, is the equivalent of a parsa and a half. V'hai orzila hu me'erev rav, right? And this orzila, like the erev rav, the fakers, the fakerai Egyptians who left Mitzrayim with us, pretended to join the team, who were not really part of Yisrael, who camped chutz l'machane, right, outside the camp. So this orzila, this fake mountain goat, this karnei ra'im karnav, this fake beautiful creature, is really camped chutz l'machane. V'omid chutz l'machane Yisrael, parsu upalga, amna maniach roshu b'makom gedolim. But it rests its head, so to speak. It always tries to what? It tries to place itself where? A parsa and a half away from where it really is. Really, it's chutz l'nachana. Really, it's Erev Rav. You're totally chutz l'nachana. But you stretch out your neck to the clouds, and then you try to rest your head. Try to give your head, your rosh, a place smack in the middle of the camp, a parsa and a half, right in the middle of the camp, right next to Moshe Rabbeinu. You think you can stand right next to Moshe Rabbeinu. You could rest your place right next to Moshe Rabbeinu, amongst the Gedolim. And then, of course, what happens? Chaver, what's the punchline? Because the Gros says, he's going to say in a second, he's going to tell us that this mimer is really about kinah. It's really about jealousy. What destroyed this person? It was all jealousy. And you know what happens? You're trying to be something that you're not. And then, of course, right, you can fake it for a little bit of time, but eventually you become very depressed because you realize it's not who I am, and I'm not, and no one's falling for it. I'm not tricking other people. I'm not tricking myself. And I come to that realization. So you know what I have to do? Since I can't keep up, you know what I do instead? Sometimes I pretend to keep up. I try to be something I'm not. You know what else I could do? To level the playing field, I could tear someone else down. I could try to pull someone else down. If I can't pull myself up, and I'm not willing to have the humility to follow the order of operations, to follow the Seder HaLimud, so I try to drag someone else down. And how do I do that? I try to block up the Yardain with my garbage. Says the Gra, Rama Kufta Usachar Liyardana. All of a sudden, this massive antelope, Balgaiva antelope, decides to relieve itself, and it blocked up the Yardain. Ki en yano ka asher hu roa she'ina yachol enatzeach es tamidei chachamim. When he sees that everyone knows your horns are fake, not only do you not have horns, you don't even have ears, you haven't even sat in the basement just to listen, let alone to start saying your own ideas, and no one's falling for it, and you're losing all your battles in the basement, just no one's impressed with your svaras. So then what do you do? Oz hu mavish recham. So what you try to do is you try to what? You try to ruin other people's reputations. You try to make the people who are actually chashiv not so chashiv. Ki kein darkam shel kinaim, or according to the footnote 180, Kikain darkei akina, this is the way of kina, this is the way of jealousy. O lahagbias atzman, when I'm jealous, I try to lift myself up to something that's not really mine. Ukasheina yachol, and if I'm not able to, azhumavish umetanef litrof eschadeho, I try to spoil someone else, I try to ruin someone else. I try to make someone else smell foul, to tear them down. Va'amru, and of course, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, kol haposel, anyone who tries to apostle someone else, that's the biggest exposure of your own soul. If you're looking to tear someone else down, right? Kol aposel b'mumo posel. When I, you know, criticize someone else, it's usually what? It's just a weak defense mechanism to cover up my own soul, my own mum. V'zeh maimer akasav. And again, going back to that pasuk in Iov, kegelalo lanetzach yoved. Like the gelalo, like the excrement, La netzach yoved, which will be lost forever, has no substance, has no value. Kamo shechashav hu al tamidei chacham. Go to the last page. Kein yoved ba'atzmo. The way he tries to what? To make someone else stink in the eyes of others. That's what becomes of him. Vezeu amru Rama kufsa usachar liyardana. He's Rama kufsa. He flings his excrement and he clogs up the yardin. Ki tamar chacham nimshal liyardin. Because the Talmud Chacham is compared to a Yardin. Now, it's not so simple to find what, in fact, is the makor for that. Where do we find that a Talmud Chacham is compared to the Yardin? But you can see, I wrote down for you at the bottom here, Sanhedrin Sadi Daladam on base. The Gemara says, Aval achronim shechbidu alein ol Torah, those who took upon themselves the responsibility, the yoke of Torah, and they were machabid the Torah, right? A person who's mechabe Torah and wears the yoke of Torah is like a person who's worthy of having miracles like the Jewish people saw when they crossed the Yarden. So there's a certain a person who's mechabe and takes and respects Torah that is compared to some of the wonders we saw by the Yarden. So Talmud Chacham, the Gros says, what's the source? It's not exactly clear, but the Gros says, right? The Gros says that a Talmud Chacham is compared to the Yarden. So in other words, when he realizes that he can't keep up, he tries to what? He tries to clog the Yarden. Says the Gra in the last paragraph on the right hand side. V'chol inyan ha-maimer hazeh al inyan ha-kinah. We learned about taiva, we learned about kavod, we learned about gaiva. Tonight we're learning about kinah. Shehi midah hashlishis mishalosh midos mitamidosh ha-bilam harasha. Right, we learned about the three midos that define the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. Shehi Ayin Ra. Right? We said it's an Ayin Ra, it's a Ruach Gevoa, it's a Nefesh Rechava. An Ayin Ra is an eye that's jealous. Right? It's a Ruach Gevoa, it's a lofty spirit, a person who's a Baal Gaiva. It's a Nefesh Rechava, it's a person who wants Kavod, a person who wants Taiva. All of these bad midos is what Rabbi Rachana is responding to. And again, following after the Psukim of David HaMelech in Tehillim Kuf Zayin. V'sidram Keseder, Kamo Shachashav Kan, Shemo Shachishav Kan. And he arranged, we've Rabbi Rachana is now going through them step by step, as presented here. Ki mitchila maschila adam begaiva, because at first the person begins with gaiva. Yisromim nefesh adam alzulaso bezadon libo v'gavaso. V'achar kach betaiva v'kavod. And then he wants taiva, and then he wants kavod. V'achar kach kina. So in the four agadatas that we've learned so far, right? Again, each one had a little bit of each, but primarily we started with what? We started with gaiva. And then we spoke about taiva and kavod, and tonight we highlighted this inyan of kina. V'chein sidru David HaMelech b'tehillim, and again, if you just go back to the psukim in Tehillim Kuf Zayin, right? David HaMelech is going through them also step by step. Nafsham bera'a tismogag. Their soul in their negativity is ripped apart. Bera, the ra is the kina that we're describing here. Kavanaso b'kinas ish mire'ehu. Va'aleya ne'mar, and about such a person it says, David HaMelech says, Timoses Rasha Ra, your kina will destroy you. And that's what's exactly happening to this fellow. First, he makes a fool out of himself by chasing after horns, but chasing after a display of self that's inauthentic. He ends up losing his ears, he loses his reputation. Then he becomes so low that he's trying to drag down other people, and everyone says, who is this guy? And you know what happens to him in the end? He destroys himself. V'sonei tzadik yashamu. Those who hate the truly righteous eventually are found to be guilty. Those are the ones who are swept away. Ki rekev atzamos kina. Because, like the Pasuk says, kina is the rotting of one's essence. It destroys a person to their core. Says the Gra, last paragraph, O ratzalomar, rama kufsa. It relieves its excrement. Ki nahar dinar sham matbilan haneshamos la'alos al eretz achayim ara kadisha. There's a nahar dinar. There's a special river in Shemayim. I think it's a river made out of fire that the neshamos have to go into on their way to Gan Eden, to the Eretz Chaim above. V'hu neg chutzlarts. There's a certain river that a neshama has to go through in order as it makes its transition from this world to the next world. Aval v'rsha'im mitoch shetzo'asan meruba. But a rasha who's so filthy, he clogs the river, he doesn't allow himself to undergo that what? That spiritual purification that allows him to come before his creator. Nish'arim sham ve'ene yechom la'alos mesocha. He gets stuck. He never makes it to the Olam Amis. He never makes it to Gan Eden, whatever you want to call it. He never makes it to Olam Haba because what? Because he clogs up the river. He's not able to go through that, whatever that means, this tefillah and the Nahar Dinor that the Neshama goes through. And that's what Eov is saying, Kegelo lanetzach yoved. Right, like the excrement, like the filth of their lives, they're going to get stuck there forever. Vuhu lo mida keneged mida, and it's mida keneged mida. Because he was Rama Kuftu Mavish Reach Tamid Echam, because he tried to make the reputation of the Talmid Chum stink, to smell foul. Mida keneged mida, he's gonna be clogged up forever. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. Right? David HaMelech says what? Nafsham bera tismogag. Through their negativity, they destroy themselves. And bera, the ra, their ra, their evil, tismogag, they get stuck in the Nahar Dinor and they're never able to complete that rectification and purification on their way to the Olam Emes. V'hagaiva, v'taiva, v'kavod, again, is alluded to in all of these psukim that we've been basing these pieces on. Yalu Shemayim, Yerdu Sahomos. Right? Each of those phrases, again, you have to go back to the psukim, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dal, Chaf Zayin, Chavav, Chafei, Chavav, Chaf Zayin, all those psukim in Tehillim are really just going through these stories that Rabbi Rachana is telling us. But if you remember, and I'll end with this, so if we started, we pointed out, what did the Rashbam say? The Rashbam told us that what? That even though this giant Baal Gaiva is going to try to clog up the rivers, what's going to happen? Right? Eventually it's all going to be swept away, right? And the water is going to break through. And of course, even the people who say the most wicked things about Talmidei Chachamim, the truth always comes through in the end. Even if people for a period of time question the Talmud Chacham's, reputation, eventually his Torah will win. It'll sweep away all of that negativity, right? And nothing will be left. Kegelu lanetzach yoved. like the excrement that's flushed away, so too this person will be lost, or like the Gra is telling us, either that or whatever he tried to clog up, he'll get clogged up on his way through the Nahar Dinar as the Shama is trying to enter Olam Haba, and unfortunately he'll lose everything. Kina rekev atzamos. Kina causes the rotting of bones. So we should be zocha to have the humility to follow again the proper Seder. Again, the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon is someone we can take seriously. If he tells us how to learn Torah the right way, we have to follow it. And Amir Tashem, if we develop our ears, we learn to listen in a real way, in a deep way, and we're mevatel ourselves before our Rebbeim and acquire the basic knowledge as a chamor and a shor, then Amir Tashem will be zocha one day to have the horns and to be part of the Balei Karnayim and the Beis Medrash. Should we down Marv?